Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
T1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. You had to stay up late, but if you did, you were rewarded with seeing the Columbus Blue Jackets get a 3-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings last night. Mason Marchman, in just his second game with the CBJ, scored 2 goals, and Kirill Marchenko chipped in the other. All 3 goals were scored on the power play. The Jackets are now off until Sunday when they host the Islanders at 5. Brock Purdy went off on Monday Night Football, throwing for 295 yards and a career-high 5 touchdowns as the San Francisco 49ers beat the Indianapolis Colts 48-27. Christian McCaffrey had 117 yards rushing and caught 2 of Purdy's touchdown passes. The Indianapolis loss clinched playoff spots for the Bills, Jaguars, and Chargers in the AFC. The 19th-ranked OSU women's basketball team has won 9 straight after beating Western Michigan 95-47 last night.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only 2 guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Doing it live on a Getaway Tuesday edition of the program. No Bo today, no Reese. I'm still here, though. I'm Ryan Baker. Tim May is in with me today, and Rhyme Time on the other side of the glass. We are glad to have you here. Ready to roll on this Tuesday. We have a lot to get to. There was a lot of Ohio State availability yesterday. We had offensive players. We had Ryan Day. We had Matt Patricia and the defensive players last night. So we'll let you hear all of that. Also, Mario Cristobal had some Cotton Bowl availability yesterday. We will let you hear the head coach of the Hurricanes, what he had to say about the Buckeyes, Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, all of that stuff coming up. A big Monday in sports with the Jackets winning, the OSU women's basketball team picking up a win, a exciting Monday Night Football game last night where Brock Purdy throws for a career-high 5 touchdowns. But, Tim, I wanted to start off with this today, and I feel like as sports has gone along, we lose a lot of our traditions. Things that used to matter don't matter anymore, and we're getting that a lot in college football right now. And one of those things kind of came to a head yesterday with Notre Dame and USC. We knew they weren't going to continue playing their rivalry game, and that's a game that has been a staple for so long, and it's been such a great game and many memories from that game. As well, they're replacing, Notre Dame is replacing USC on the schedule with BYU. And maybe it's partly that, maybe it's this time of the year when so many people have holiday traditions that they get to. And I was thinking about sports traditions. What are some sports traditions that that we love, or maybe a tradition that used to be that is gone? What are some of those things for you?
Man, I didn't even give that any thought. I'm just kind of bummed out about Notre Dame at USC because it's been around for a long time. You know, it first started when Newt Rockne was at Notre Dame, and one of the agreements to it then was, this is back in the, late 1920s, mid-1920s, the game at Notre Dame would be played sometime before November 1, and that the game in Southern Cal would be played at the end of the regular season because of weather concerns by Southern Cal. Didn't want to be playing in a in a snowstorm, and then Notre Dame and Newt Rodney used it as a kind of a vacation, so to speak, because they didn't go to bowl games back then, so there weren't very many bowl games to go to, actually. But I'm just kind of bummed out about that one. You know, as for other traditions, I don't even know what tradition is anymore, especially when it comes to college football. I was just thinking about this when I was driving in. Ohio State won nine regular season Big Ten games this year, and so did Indiana, and they didn't play each other until the Big Ten championship game. And I remember in Illinois, I think it was 1983, became the first team ever to win nine Big Ten nine Big Ten conference games and won the Big Ten outright. And of course, there was no championship game way back then, as the old saying goes, way back then. It's just that's one of the many things that have changed about college football now. And you know, as far as traditions, it's to me what's bothering me is the idea of some of these traditional rivalry games going away. I really wouldn't have a problem with Ohio State and Michigan moving to the middle of the regular season because of you know, a lot of things, because the Texas Oklahoma's always been there for me, and I've always enjoyed that game in the middle of the year. But here's the thing, you know, you think you might move, back in the day they were talking about moving Michigan Ohio State to the middle of the year to keep Ohio State and Michigan from maybe playing each other back-to-back games. Well, heck, who knows? The team you replace them with, you may end up playing them in back-to-back games, you know, that game and then the Big Ten championship game. So there are kinds of ways to look at it. I think the big thing is the thing that has sort of become tradition begrudgingly, but I think most people are seeing a reason to get rid of it now, is a league championship game. And I was all for this year's game matching two undefeated teams, Ohio State and Indiana. But the more I thought about it is, yeah, why would you put two teams that are 1-2 in the country in jeopardy of playing each other in that game, not only of one team getting beat, but also the other team getting one team getting banged up, et cetera, headed toward the college football playoff. So, but that's what's driving the loss of these traditional games. But replacing USC with BYU, I think it's more of the other way. I mean, because Lincoln Riley was talking about this a couple of years ago, that he could see a day when USC didn't play Notre Dame, because it's such a rugged, for want of another term, non-conference game. But why can't you play one of those a year, right? So that's what I have problems with this one.
Yeah, and it's funny because college football, all of the traditions, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to have gone by the wayside here in this college football playoff era. I think of, like, Ohio State, Michigan, we all think that's always going to be played. Would there be a time where that was ever not played? You've already mentioned moving the game, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that, and there's a lot of people that are dead set against that. It's always been the last game of the year. It's got to be the last game of the year.
It's not anymore. That's the problem.
I think of, like, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, Bedlam. That game is no more, and how that's got to be to those people. The people in Oklahoma probably thought that would never happen.
Nebraska, Oklahoma.
Yeah, those things have gone away. I think of, like, college football traditions to me, like, I remember January 1st being such a huge day with the bowl games, and you had to watch the Rose Bowl and this and that. And the Rose Bowl obviously is still part of the college football playoff, so it's still a game that matters and is there. But so many people talk about, well, you got to have the Rose Bowl at 4:30, so you get the sunset at the mountains and all of that, and you get the views, and how that stuff just doesn't matter anymore. I think of games like Georgia, Florida, and the cocktail party. What a cool thing that is. The Iron Bowl with Alabama and Auburn. Games that, even though you don't have a rooting interest in, that you would want to go to. One tradition that we lost a long time ago, and I don't know if anybody cares about it, but this was just always something this stood out to me, and I think it was because it was usually on Christmas Day, and we haven't had this for 22 years. The last one was 2003. I remember the Kelly Tyre Blue Gray game all the time.
I can't believe it was
like a big Senior Bowl.
I can't believe you just said that, number one, because I was thinking a game I used to watch because, you know, whatever football was on, I would watch it.
Yeah.
And the Blue Gray game in the Crampton Bowl there in Montgomery, Alabama. That was interesting concept for a game because they wanted to have a North South. They would call it the Senior Bowl was going on eventually, and the East West Shrine game, et cetera. But the Blue Gray game, I think finally people kind of caught on. This was the this was the North versus the South again.
Yeah.
And in the middle of Montgomery, Alabama. Mm. And do you really want to do that? I think they still have a Blue Gray game. I think it's, but it's a different connotation now. It's in a different place.
It's a different name.
Yeah. And I think it might be high school all-stars or something like that. I didn't have any problem with seeing that being altered because I always thought that was a kind of an ill-conceived concept.
And I understand what you're saying there, but it was just something that was cool. These teams that didn't make a bowl game, their seniors could have another chance to showcase themselves.
But back then, you got to remember when it started, there were only like five or six bowl games. Now there's like
correct.
And here's the other thing: the thing I do like about the college football playoff schedule is. The major bowl games, the ones I grew up thinking about, and then you add a couple more to them, still matter because now they're part of the playoff system. The problem with the whole thing is the playoff system, the schedule of the college football schedule is what needs to change, maybe starting in early August and getting the playoff system done by January 1 with the championship game. I will, throw it out there. It wouldn't bother me to see the championship game always in the Rose Bowl or the Rose Bowl Stadium. Whereas now you've got all these games. You've got three games after that, the two semifinals and then the championship game. So something's got to give in the calendar. And one of that is some of the tradition. But to see an annual game you look forward to watching every year, or at least me sometimes recording and watching, is USC Notre Dame. I mean, there's no reason for that game to go away except of not facing jeopardy.
Rhyme time, I know you're a big college basketball guy. And could you ever think of a world? And I thought of this earlier this year when people were talking about North Carolina, and there would be a bidding war for North Carolina between the Big Ten and the SEC. Would there ever be a world where North Carolina and Duke
I knew you
didn't
were going
play
here.
In a year? I mean, that's crazy to think. But
well, I think you would still get, if it were to happen, you would get like a Kentucky Louisville or Cincinnati and Xavier crosstown shootout and just play one game in the non-conference, which honestly sucks because like you get the one meeting at the start of February and then the one at the beginning of March that kind of sets the tone for the rest of that month, and it's always home and home and everything, and it's just the juice is unbelievable. It's the best rivalry in college basketball. I think it has a case for the best rivalry in sports. I know that won't go over well here, but like it's up there for sure, and it's definitely a rivalry that can't be played just once during a college basketball season.
Yeah, and it would be weird if that ever happened.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if that did happen somehow, where the two got split off in different conferences.
It'd be a package deal or something.
Hopefully, they would agree to that, where they would play every year to at least keep a little bit of that rivalry. Hopefully, they would still do it in February or March, too, and not do it early on.
Well, we're getting
October.
More non-conference games in February now, so why not?
Yeah, but it would just be a total shame. I mean, you have to hang on to some things. Even in the NFL, the big-time rivals usually play each other twice a year, you know, whether they meet in the playoffs or not. I mean, you know, Browns-Steelers, Commanders. Cowboys-Commanders, right on down the line. So, I mean, to think of a college basketball a world where Duke and North Carolina don't play twice a year at least is
if there is a world I don't want to
No, here's the thing. You get rid of that because of new things coming along, new challenges like in college football right now. You don't want to play nine conference games and also have to play Notre Dame every year. I can understand that with USC.
Yeah.
Except what about when everything blows up again? You know, you're going to go back and try to rekindle these kind of things. Once they're kind of gotten rid of, they definitely, in my opinion, get devalued, demonetized, whatever the word you want to use there and stuff. And you can't always get those things back. Like I threw out there the other day that, you know, Ohio State and Miami is a rematch. And by rematch, I mean of the 2002 national championship game, not of the 2010, 2011, but 2002 was a hell of a game.
Yeah.
And, in historic in all kinds of ways, including the number of great players that played in that game, et cetera. And some guy called me to task. It's not a rematch. You know, they last played in 2011, blah, blah, blah. I went, come on, dude. You know what I'm talking about.
Speaking of that Ohio State and Miami matchup, we had Cotton Bowl media availabilities yesterday. We will let you hear from the head coach of the Buckeyes, Ryan Day, coming up here at 9:30. But next, you had to stay up late last night, but if you did, you were rewarded with something that is pretty rare these days. We will talk about that and Monday Night Football coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends, 97.1 The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Buckeyes are back in the playoffs, and The Fan and 10TV are back with Chasing the Championship.
Sponsored by Logan Services.
Keep it locked on The Fan, 10TV, and 10TV Plus, your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Guys, you heard a TR.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will see patchy drizzle for us today, otherwise cloudy to mostly cloudy skies and mild with highs in the low 50s and gusty winds out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows right around freezing, and then for Christmas Eve on Wednesday, partly sunny and still mild with highs in the mid 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Welcome back in a Getaway Tuesday here on Bishop and Friends. I'm Ryan Baker. No Bo, no Reese.
Where are you getting away to, man?
From here for 2 days, because we don't have shows the next 2 days. We'll have best ofs.
I was just sad to see the firewood guy didn't show up this morning to build a fire here in the studio.
Are you a little cold in here this morning?
I feel like they're going to start hanging meat here in a minute. I'm going to be dodging. I'm going to be dodging hanging meat.
We could be over in the Brown studio next door. That's a little cooler.
Yeah. Well, anyway, pay your gas bill.
There's always heating and cooling issues in here. I don't know why. We got multiple systems and something's always messed up. What wasn't messed up last night for once, finally, was the Blue Jackets. They got a win. They haven't had too many wins here in the month of December, but they got one last night. They were perfect on the special teams, on the penalty kill. I guess not perfect on the power play, but they were 3-for-7, scored 3 goals on the power play. They beat the Los Angeles Kings 3-1 last night in a game that they played without their best player, Zach Werenski, as he was out, took a puck to the skate in the previous game, late in that game. He did everything he could. It looked like he was walking pretty good last night. They showed him giving off the donkey hat that they give to the player of the game. He was in the dressing room after, and it looked like he was walking pretty good. I think they just figured with the 5-day holiday break coming up, it was good to hold him out last night, and the Jackets get a good win. I am one of the few probably that was up watching the whole thing. But the Jackets now, even though they're in last place, still just 5 points out of a playoff spot.
You haven't been to bed yet. That's the problem.
feel like
by
it.
By the way, are the Blue Jackets now, are they the big T's? How would you describe them? What's their record right now?
Well, they're in last place in the Eastern Conference. They have 36 points, I believe, now as I pull up the standings here. So the Jackets are 15-15-6.
I asked that question rhetorically because I knew what their record was, but I mean, is that them for this season? What is your take on that? Evidently, you like the Blue Jackets because you stayed up late to watch them, but I mean, is that what we're getting now?
Well, you're close to halfway through the season, so a lot of times that is what you are. And we talked about this the other day. This is a team that didn't make many changes from a team last year that was fighting for that final playoff spot. I would think they are a little better than the 500 team that they are right now, as they've gone through this swoon here in December where they've had so many one-goal games that they've come up just short in. I would think that they're a little better than this, but I don't know how much better. Like, I can't sit here and say, oh, this is a playoff team for sure, because they're in a hole right now that they've got to dig out of.
Yeah, because my two sons are big Blue Jacket fans. They, you know, because they've been their childhood or whatever, growing up, et cetera, and they became fans because that was the first, you know, well, the first of the established major league teams ever in, you know, in town in Columbus. And I just feel for them a little bit because I just feel like the Blue Jackets tease them all the time. They have been teasing them for decades. And you can say decades now. And then number two, the inconsistency that you get out of the goaltending aspect of things with the Blue Jackets, I think, is what always keeps people on pins and needles in terms of the cheering public out there. How much do you really buy into, like, for example, a win like this? You make a big deal out of a win like this, and then some of the other games you've watched in the last couple of weeks. When you juxtapose those two, what are you telling yourself? What are they telling us?
Well, it was a good win last night, and it was one of the rare times it seemed like they played 60 minutes of hockey. You've seen a lot of times them play 40 minutes.
What was the key word there? What was the key word
50.
There?
50, yeah.
The key word was rare.
Yeah. Rare times. Jet Greaves was solid last night in net. He seems to be what they've got that's the best in net right now, so I would think they're probably the rest of the way going to ride Jet as much as they can, and that would probably be the best thing. I think for this Blue Jackets team, it was just nice to get that win heading into the break. Sean Monahan's been banged up a little bit. Kirill Marchenko's been banged up a little bit. Zach Werenski, obviously, with the taking the puck to the skate the other night. Hopefully they can take these 5 days in this break and get a little healthy, and maybe Sunday when they come back for against the Islanders, they can get another win and maybe roll this into something here. And it's always up and down, right?
Yeah,
you lose.
That's what
if
I
you
just
lose
said.
A bunch, you're going to win some, and I feel like they do have a win streak coming here at some point that will help them in the standings. The nice thing, Mason Marchman, who they just traded for, first Blue Jackets player to score 3 goals in their first 2 games. Joining Luca Del Belbelouz and Tyler Mott as the only Jackets ever to score goals in their first 2 games. So that was nice with them. The San Francisco 49ers got a huge performance last night.
Oh, that's
Brock
it. We're
Purdy.
We're done with the Blue Jackets.
We got schedules here. We got to get to Ryan Day here in a little
I'm
bit.
I'm just messing with you, man. I'm messing with you.
Brock Purdy, 5 touchdown passes. The 49ers beat the Indianapolis Colts 48-27 last night on Monday Night Football. Tim, the playoff picture definitely coming into shape here in the NFL. We've got 5 spots clinched in the NFC, 5 in the AFC, mm-hmm. with Indianapolis's loss last night. The Bills, the Chargers, and the Jaguars all clinch playoff spots. So there's only a few teams for these 2 spots left.
The Velvet Ropes, man, they let a few more in. Yeah, by the way, last night, I mean, it's really funny. Post-game, you're sitting there, and I'm looking, monitoring different things and watching. And it was almost like two things happened at once. Number one, San Francisco, oh, my goodness, Brock Purdy went nuts. 5 touchdown passes, as you pointed out, et cetera. And oh my goodness, Phillip Rivers at 44. Yeah, they scored 27 points. Of course, he had pretty bad pick six in that game, mm-hmm. With Luke Kuechly. But it was just, to me, it's like the essence of sport is that you celebrate the 49ers might have found an offense. You know, I mean, with Brock Purdy is playing better and better, in my opinion. Obviously, he was banged up earlier in the year, but then with Phillip Rivers, you're celebrating a guy. A lot of people were celebrating his performance, even though they got beat by, 21 points. What a fantastic testament this is to never giving up and celebrating echoes from the past. Like you're saying, tradition was Phillip Rivers standing in there and taking a hit while he was throwing that ball, you know, whipsawing that ball down the field, sidearm, et cetera. So it was a strange mix of sports fans celebrating things that one is championship possible football and the other is look at Phillip Rivers. And look at the situation with the Indianapolis Colts at quarterback.
they were a team that was cruising towards a playoff spot, and it is just all downhill for them. They are going to need to win out to get in there. And real quick, I wanted to mention this. The Ohio State women's basketball team, they jumped up to 19th in the country yesterday in the polls. Then they went out and beat Western Michigan last night, 95-47. The Buckeyes on a 9-game winning streak right now, and they're getting contributions from a lot of people, 5 in double figures last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've got it going on, as the old saying goes. And I just, you know, you just now you want to see them keep on keeping on and stuff. And of course, the end of the year, the end of the season has always been sort of their challenge, mm-hmm. for want of another term, getting into the NCAA and then maybe getting something done there is the real quest for this team, because clearly the talent is there.
They've got a big test this Sunday at 2 when they host 4th-ranked UCLA. Ryan Day, he spoke with the media about the matchup with Miami in the Cotton Bowl yesterday. We'll let you hear what some of the head coach of the Buckeyes had to say next. It's Bishop and Friends on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up,
Jew? Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
What's up on this Tuesday? The Buckeyes taking on Miami in the Cotton Bowl, New Year's Eve. 8:00 kick in that one. And we got a lot of availability yesterday from the Buckeyes. Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, some of the offensive players talked over at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center yesterday at 11 a.m. We'll let you hear some of what Julian and Jeremiah had to say in the next segment. But then Ryan Day took to the podium at noon yesterday and talked with the media. Tim, you were there in person yesterday. I thought Ryan Day, they got a... Some of the questions that have been there have been about Brian Hartline. What's his role? What's going on? Right guard, Tegra Shibola got hurt at the end of that Big Ten championship game. He's going to be out here for at least the beginning of this playoff run, definitely the Cotton Bowl. So Ryan Day was asked about that. And I thought Ryan yesterday was... Sometimes you get a lot of coach speak from these coaches. And I listened to Mario Cristobal, and you got a lot of that yesterday from him. I thought Ryan was pretty honest and open with all of the answers yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I think Ryan's become basically listen to press conference, if that's a term, because I just liked his forthrightness, especially this year in a lot of ways. And one of them, you know, was basically yesterday. I mean, their challenge right now is to play up to Ohio State football standard, which they didn't do, and his opinion and the players' opinion in the championship game, Big Ten championship game against Indiana, and you know, I just like the way he approaches things now. There's a confidence. He always had confidence, but there's like a been there, done that kind of feel to him. I don't, you know, it's hard to explain unless you've covered him for like 7 years, 8 years, like I have, and understand where, you know, the confidence he's coming from when he speaks to you and answers some of these questions. And the bottom line about him is he knows he has a good football team right now. Mm-hmm. He knows they didn't, like I said, play to their standard their last time out. The football team also knows that. And he also, like he said, there were some scheme things they would have changed maybe in some of those red zone opportunities where they didn't cash in against Indiana. And there's also some execution mistakes, which you can look on video and see those. I think he's really challenged his team. He's got an angry team going into the playoff, which is, as Urban Meyer would tell you, that's what you want more than anything else, is somebody who's angry with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And the chip on their shoulder was actually put there by them, you know, not by somebody else calling them out, et cetera. So I think he feels pretty good about their chances.
One of the big questions about this playoff run coming up is Brian Hartline. And he's the head coach at the University of South Florida, but he's also trying to be with this team as they go through the playoff run. Ryan Day was asked yesterday about Brian Hartline's role in all of this.
You know, first off, you know, we just really happy for Brian and the opportunity that he's getting. It's such a strange calendar, and the timing is brutal. But you know, he's handled it great, as you can imagine. And so, you know, right now as we move forward, he's coaching the receivers. You know, it's a lot on his plate. It's a lot, you know, to manage. So we're kind of taking it, you know, day to day right now, just in terms of as we move forward. Going into the game, you know, it'll be a group effort. You know, Keenan will be very much involved. Everybody will be involved with the play calling. Ultimately, it'll be my decision, you know, what calls go into the game in this game. You know, kind of wanted to take that off of Brian's plate as we head into the playoffs because he's got so much going on with what he's trying to do. But he's working hard towards it, and we're just going to keep evaluating it every day to see what's best for the group.
We talked yesterday. It's hard to have your focus in two places. And this is no knock on Brian Hartline, but probably having him just work with the receivers and what he knows best is probably best for this team right now.
Yep.
Because you need somebody focused on a game plan for Miami for this Cotton Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it, you know, work another way too with Tom Herman when he got the University of Houston job in 2014. And they still managed to win the national championship because there were only two games involved then. You know, and they went through the quarterback carousel there, ultimately with Cardale Jones. And, of course, Tom Herman coached him also. So there are all kinds of ways you can go about it. I mean, this was Brian Hartline's first year calling plays for Ohio State, well, probably for anywhere, and unless he did peewee football with his kids or something. But the bottom line is I think he did a very good job. But like you said, this is a focus kind of situation, and Ryan Day wants all focus on deck, so to speak, when it comes to those kind of things. And any kind of distraction can take you away from that. And so Ryan Day basically alluded to the idea that he was probably going to do this the last time we got to talk to him, meaning signing day was out of the way, the Big Ten championship game was out of the way, hanging on to Chris Henry was out of the way. So he feels a little more freedom as the head coach to maybe take on a few more tasks. And this is one of them. And it's one that he has done before and I thought was really good at.
He was also asked if he had any reluctance taking over the play calling duty.
No, not at all. You know, I do think, you know, sometimes the best setting is, you know, when you're up in the box and you have everything organized, you know, as opposed to being down on the field. But, you know, done it before. And you know, we have a great group of guys here. You know, between Keenan and Billy and Tyler, Locke, you know, this is a great group of guys and everybody else that's part of it. So, you know, we're going to work hard putting this game plan together. Today's a big practice for us as we move forward. And, you know, it's our job to put the guys in the best position to be successful. So, as you know, a big part of it is the organization and making sure the game plan's right and what we're doing. And then, you know, the play calling will organize and make sure it's efficient.
As you mentioned, Tim, Ryan Day has done this before. Ryan Day's in the position he is in because of his play calling, so I wouldn't think that there would be any reluctance from him doing that. I think it's interesting, though, in both of those answers, he mentioned Keenan Bailey. It sounds like Keenan Bailey is going to be someone that Ryan Day relies on a lot here.
Well, Keenan Bailey was, for want of another term, and I don't mean this in a derogatory, I mean in an extremely complimentary way, a long-term intern for Ohio State football. By intern, I mean a guy who was learning under different fellas, and they've put more and more on his plate over the last several years, including making him a full-time, big-time assistant coach, tight ends, etc. He's extremely intelligent. I've known him for a while now. He still looks young, but I know he's older than what he looks, and the players really like him. I mean, Jeremiah Smith mentioned him yesterday about dealing with him and stuff, because, you know, Keenan Bailey, before he came tight ends coach, was an understudy wide receiver coach, and so they Ryan has a lot of trust in Keenan Bailey. So, you know, as long as the guy is telling you the truth and helping you get into positions to make plays, et cetera, players love him. And I think Keenan Bailey fits that bill. Look at the four tight end sets they got into this year. I mean, he's turned the tight end room into a definite strength on this football team the last couple of years.
It seems like for the past 2 years, right guard Integra Shibola has been a question. Well, Integra Shibola is not in the equation for this Cotton Bowl. He suffered an injury in the Big Ten championship game in the third quarter, had to leave that game. Gabe Van Sickle came in and played the rest of the way in the Big Ten championship game. Ryan Day was asked about Gabe and the right guard position yesterday.
Yeah, well, it starts in practice and, you know, gaining trust with, you know, with your coaches and with your teammates. And he's done that and, you know, shown in games what he can do. And so, you know, he and Josh will continue to roll right now. But we feel confident with both those guys in the game. They've shown some really good things. And, you know, Gabe did a good job, you know, went in there, you know, in some of these recent games. So, you know, that's been good for us, you know, in terms of the depth. But, you know, that position's going to be important, you know, as we go into these playoffs where, you know, Tegger had been in there most of the season. So, you know, that this week of practice will be very important for those guys.
Hate to see that Integra Shibola goes down with an injury. Maybe he'll be ready to get back in the lineup when they get to a national championship game, if they do. But it sounds like, at least for the Cotton Bowl and maybe one more game, he is going to be out. I feel like Josh Padilla was a guy that got banged up, but he was really on the come. They were getting him in the games, Tim, and ready to play. Gabe Van Sickle showed pretty well in the times we've seen him in the games. I think whether it's Gabe or whether it's Josh, I think Ohio State's going to be fine at that right guard position.
Yeah, I mean, it was the one question mark that never truly went away for this football team. I mean, at times during the middle of the season, when they weren't playing big time opponents, they were holding sway. The thing about Integra Shibola, which is interesting, I thought he played extremely well in the four games of the playoff last year. Obviously, he had his Mason Graham moments against Michigan, but the bottom line is he's been so close sometimes to just being what he looks like, which is a super dominant player. If you ever walk up to him, the guy's huge, et cetera. And, but the inconsistency there has bugged him. I'm not necessarily talking about from play to play, but sometimes from game to game. And, Gabe Van Sickle, well, they got to have faith in him because he's the next guy up. You know, Padilla's been banged up, this year just when he was getting his chances. And of course, he's important in terms of, you know, backup center. If in fact they ever needed any help at that situation. But, yeah, you got to ride with who you got right now. And Gabe Van Sickle's a dude.
And Tegra, you mentioned him in the Big Ten championship game, and the Indiana game was what it was, but I thought he may have played his best game of his career against Michigan this year.
Yes.
I thought him and the whole offensive line was great. But again, I don't think the offensive line is something. I think they've been pretty good this year, and I think they will be just fine in the Cotton Bowl, whoever's in there.
They had a tough time against Indiana, though. I mean, from a consistency standpoint, from play to play, they had a tough time dealing with what Indiana threw at them.
They did, and that was I think we all forget Indiana was the number two defense in the country this year, behind Ohio State, because you're just not ready for that. We talked about the players. They spoke yesterday as well. We will hear from Jeremiah Smith and QB1 Julian Sayin. Coming up next, it's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Welcome back in. No Bo today. No Reeser, as they are enjoying their holiday break already. I'm Ryan Baker. Tim May, to the right of me, joining us today. Rhyme Time, Jacob Reimer on the other side of the glass, running things for us today. Ohio State men's basketball team. You can hear them later on The Fan today. They will play Grambling at 2 over at The Shot. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan gets underway at 1 with Brandon Beam and The Fan warm-up show. Then Paul and Ron take over at 1:15 this afternoon. We just heard from Ryan Day talking about the game with Miami and the Cotton Bowl yesterday. A lot of the players spoke as well. Jeremiah Smith, there's been a lot of talk about him as he is a guy from South Florida. We know that Miami had made a hard recruiting pitch to get him to come there, but he ended up choosing the Buckeyes. I thought it was interesting listening to Jeremiah yesterday. We knew he was banged up, and we knew that he missed that Purdue game. I'm not sure anybody really knew just how, and I know I didn't understand just how hurt Jeremiah was and how tough all of that was on him.
A little adversity, I should say. Something I never really had to deal with. I don't really be hurt or nothing like that. Nothing really bothers me, but I was something serious that I had to deal with. You know, after that, you know, was it Rutgers week? I was, you know, feeling down. Like, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to play against Team on North. Like, so I was debating if I was going to play or not because it was really bad. I didn't know if I was going to be able to play. But I had to do, you know, everything for the team, and I wanted to be out there, and I did everything I could, and we got the win.
I'll say this. If he was struggling in that Michigan game, it certainly didn't look like it. Him and Carnell both looked like their normal selves in that game. And again, I just don't think, like, Jeremiah, he was out there. He was playing, giving it his all. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we knew how banged up he really was.
Yeah, I mean, a quad injury is, it's almost in the eyes of the beholder how much it hurts. You know, obviously, it's the muscle down the bottom of your thigh towards your knee there. And, you know, he got banged up in practice. I think it was the UCLA week. And the week of the UCLA game, and he basically insisted on playing, which against UCLA, which probably set him back a little bit, because the main thing you can do for an injury like that is rest, as in don't aggravate it, et cetera. And he only played a little bit in that game, and obviously didn't play against Rutgers, and it was up for grabs, you know. But it's just a testament, you know, one of the stars or a couple of the stars on this Ohio State football team that rarely get any publicity, or a guy named Adam Stewart and Sean Barnhouse. I mean, in that training staff, because Adam Stewart has worked wonders with guys, helping them recover and sometimes quickly from banged up injuries, which otherwise, you know, would keep guys out another 2 or 3 weeks and stuff. He was the guy that got JT Barrett ready for that Big Ten championship game when he underwent arthroscopic knee surgery on a Sunday and played on a Saturday. I don't know if people remember that or not. I remember doing a big story about that with JT and Adam Stewart on what that took, including having to letting JT Barrett move in and sleep on his couch for a couple of 3 nights. I'm not sure how much his wife really appreciated that, but Adam says you got to do what you got to do. And so that's what really helps these guys along. Most of these guys will, when they say Stewie, they're meaning Adam Stewart. And you'll hear them refer to Stewie a lot, these guys who come back from injuries. And Sean Barnhouse, too, and his staff, man, just do a tremendous job. So, but yeah, Jeremiah was touch and go going into that Michigan game. But I understood things got really better for him as from literally the Saturday of the Rutgers game on, he got better and better in pretty stout fashion. So, and of course, he answered the bell against Indiana and had, what, 8 catches in that game. So, but now he feels 100%, and so does Carnell Tate. And look out.
As we saw when those two were on the field, and they're 100% healthy, it makes a world of difference. Jeremiah, also yesterday, it seems like it kind of ruffled some feathers in South Florida and with the U when he made some comments about the 2002 National Championship game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you see it all over the internet, all over Twitter. They still talking about that, just, you know, 20 years later, but they still worry about it. But we got something for them come New Year's Eve.
It is funny, Tim, that these two teams, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, they played in 2010 and 2011, but it seems like all anybody's talking about is that 2002 National Championship game heading into this one.
Well, that's because the National Championship was on the line. It was one of the great games I've ever covered and ever seen, and the way it turned out, I mean, so many ridiculous plays in that game, and of course at the end, as I wrote about, even as the right after the game was over, looking back on it a year later, 10 years later, at the least, it was defensive holding against Miami, trying to guard Chris Gamble on that little stop route or outright fade, probably back shoulder throw in the end zone. And so it would have still been a first down at the, 1 yard line, because he did, the guy engaged him at the goal line. But Terry Porter, the guy who threw the flag, was reaching for his flag all the way. The guy who was really to blame was the guy who set off the fireworks. And by fireworks, I mean the actual fireworks that went off for a couple of seconds before they realized the game wasn't over. But yeah, I mean, the Winslows never got over it. Too bad for Kellen Winslow Jr. He's serving time, or I don't know if he's out yet or not. But well, I talked about that on my podcast this week with Matt Wilhelm again, because that game, Matt Wilhelm got one finger on the field goal attempt at the end of regulation by Miami. The severe kid, whatever I think was his name. And he said if I'd gotten two on it, it would have been blocked. I mean, that's how close things were in that game, et cetera. And so, yeah, it sticks in Miami's craw about possibly having two straight national championships. And, their program really hadn't been the same for a while now. They've kind of bounced back a couple of times, but not like they have this year. So, yeah, everybody's hearkening back to that moment and what that game meant and what this game could mean.
Julian Sayin also talked yesterday, and he mentioned that he's dreamed of playing in games like this one.
Just being a kid and playing the game I love, growing up, I always wanted to play on the biggest stage and, play in front of hundreds of thousands of fans. So it's been awesome this past season. And I think just developing and gaining confidence throughout each week, and just building that into next week.
It's funny hearing Julian say when I was a kid, because he still looks like a kid when he's up there talking to you guys yesterday. And he is a guy that has just been so poised and so calm in everything he's done this year. It doesn't seem like anything rattles him at all. And a lot of times games like this, when you're playing them for the first time, will rattle someone. And I don't worry about that at all with Julian Sayin.
No, his cool has been the one thing you've noticed from day one. And it is carried through. And, his cool is almost as impressive as his accuracy. And, even in that Indiana game when he had to move a lot, like I discussed a while ago about what Indiana was doing up front defensively. I mean, he still was able to make plays, just not enough plays, as he will tell you. But, he seems to be a guy that was born for these kind of moments, just from his poise, for lack of another term. And that should serve Ohio State well as they head forward into the playoffs.
We will let you hear from Mario Cristobal and some comments he had on the Buckeyes coming up here at about 10:17. Uncle Dom comes up at 10:30, a little Tuesdays with DeBerry, but we play a little Real Truth next. It's Bishop and Friends, 97.1 The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets got three power play goals, two of them from newly acquired Mason Marchment, and they beat the Los Angeles Kings 3-1 late last night. Marchment, the first CBJ player to score three goals in his first two games with the team. He joins Luca Delbel-Belouz and Tyler Mott as the only players to score in their first two games with the team. The Jackets are now off until Sunday when they host the Islanders at 5. What a game from Brock Purdy last night. During Monday Night Football, he throws for 295 yards and a career-high 5 touchdowns. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Indianapolis Colts 48-27. The 19th-ranked Ohio State women's basketball team, they've won 9 straight after beating Western Michigan 95-47. Elsa Limala scored 15 to lead 5 in double figures. And the Ohio State men's basketball team hosts Grambling at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hour number two of the program, Tuesdays with DeBerry, coming up at 10:30 today. A little thing or not a thing later on at 10:47.
Thing.
But right now, it's time to play a little Real Truth.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Cellar. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondCellar.com.
So obviously we've been talking a lot about the Cotton Bowl matchup with Ohio State and Miami today after the availability yesterday from both schools. We'll hear from Mario Cristobal coming up in our next segment. Ohio State will cover the spread and beat Miami by double digits in the Cotton Bowl, Tim May. Is that the real truth?
That wasn't listed number one on my truth.
I switched it around.
I haven't even gotten ready for it yet. I think Ohio State has a great chance to put up points against Miami. I'm not taking what Texas A&M did. I'm taking it with a grain of salt, I guess. Like I asked Sonny Styles, do you take into account that there was a big, pretty good win that they were dealing with on Saturday in that game as you assess what Miami was about? And he said, of course you do, because wind is the big factor. It won't be the factor in the Jerry Dome. In Jerry World. If it is, we're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. If the wind breaks in. But the bottom line is, I think Ohio State can throw the ball on these guys. I was saying this a week ago against A&M or Miami. Ohio State can throw the ball if they can protect. And Reuben Bain and company are the real deal. And if they can protect, they can put points on these guys. So I could see that being a double-digit win.
I do think it is the real truth, because wind or no wind, Texas A&M's offense is no Ohio State offense when they are playing to their full potential. And by Jeremiah Smith's comments, it sounds like we're in for something special.
By the way, were we sold a bill of goods is not the right term, because Marcel Reed is a tremendous player, but he was so up and down and inconsistent, and everybody was, this time a week ago, how would Ohio State handle Marcel Reed? I go, just like Miami did. Yeah. I think he's a good player, but I thought he was overrated in terms of putting him in a Heisman, in any kind of like Heisman consideration from watching him this year, because he was, he just didn't strike my fancy, and he was finally found out by Miami, and that, boy, that interception at the end of the game will eat at him for a while.
I just also don't think Carson Beck's going to dissect this Ohio State defense. I think that's really the biggest thing.
Like, right.
I think you're putting a lot of trust in this Ohio State defense, and that's perfectly fine.
The point about Texas A&M, I think, is very good, Tim, because I did not believe in Texas A&M. I know they had the win over Notre Dame earlier in the year, but they really hadn't beaten anyone the rest of the way, quite frankly. I mean, LSU and Vanderbilt. LSU turned out to be not a great team this year, and Vanderbilt was a team right there on the edge of the college football playoff, but obviously not a great team. And
Isn't in the Southeastern Conference? Just ask them.
I wonder what they would be without Diego Pavia. Obviously, they have him, and he's a heck of a talent. And
just
finished
ask him.
Second in the Heisman Trophy running there. Yes, very confident and cocky, Mr. Pavia. I just didn't believe in Texas A&M all year. I thought they would lose their last regular season game to Texas, which they did, and I thought they would lose to Miami, which they did. So I didn't think, I don't know how much you can judge Texas A&M.
But that game, Oh, I know, but it was a playoff game, number one. Number
for
two.
Sure.
I mean, that game was right there for them to steal or to win, and they couldn't get it done. But back to what the premise was, do I think Ohio State can win this game by double figures? Absolutely, I do.
I think, especially coming off the Big Ten championship game, the pass rush and the defensive line for Miami is real. And that might give Ohio State some trouble. I just don't see Miami scoring. And we've kind of had this talk all year. I don't think I see Miami scoring more than 14 points, quite frankly, on this Ohio State defense. And I don't see Miami being able to hold this Ohio State offense in check too much. I kind of get the feeling that this is going to be kind of like the Washington game for some reason, and like a 24-7 type win for Ohio State in this game.
That is a good thing, because they're gonna bring some things. They're gonna give Ohio State some problems. You're right. I mean, Ohio State's MO this year was pretty much taking a punch or two early, especially defensively, and figuring it out and just tightening up on you as Jim Harbaugh once said, like an anaconda. But the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, they've got some players, man, as Ryan Day pointed out yesterday. They've got some NFL talent on the defensive side of the ball at all three levels. And then offensively, Malachi Toney, I mean, he's lightning in a bottle. Just look out. And of course, their running back, Mark Fletcher Jr., is a guy that Ohio State coveted at one point and had committed. So they've got some talent.
The Cleveland Browns will draft a quarterback in the first round of the upcoming NFL draft. Is that the real truth?
I say that is not the truth. If they do, I don't know what they're doing. You drafted two this year, in my opinion. This is my humble opinion. I was not a Shedeur Sanders fan, but he has grown on me. And one of the reasons is my wife sees promise in him. And my wife, believe it or not, knows a lot about football. I don't know where that came from, scratching his head, faking. But the bottom line is, he's grown on me a lot. The thing I like about him is what we were talking about Julian Sanders a minute ago. I like the poise he's showing. He's not always making a good throw and not always making the correct decision, but he's very poised, and I think it can only get better from there. I just look at this. We were talking about this yesterday. I look at this rookie class that the Browns put together. Quinshon Judkins, too bad about his injury. I just retweeted a picture of him in the hospital, I think, after surgery just a few minutes ago. But the bottom line is they can go places, and they kind of need to get that core going. And Quinshon Judkins fan and Shedeur Sanders, I think, is a good place to start.
Well, I think it's not the truth either, because I think it would be smart if they were to draft Carnell Tate and give Shedeur a weapon. Like, you're kind of seeing this with other teams. Like, they'll draft their franchise quarterback, and then in the following draft, they'll draft their, or later in that draft, draft a wide receiver with them. And I feel like, yeah, like Shedeur has given you enough to where you can build off of him. And yeah, when Quinshon comes back healthy, that's a nice running back to have next to him. And then you give him a young stud receiver in Carnell Tate on the outside. That's that, like you're mentioning with the core. I feel like that's going to be a really strong core to develop with.
And just to add to the offensive line a little bit, you know, if you could find somebody. But I'm looking at the quarterbacks in this draft, and I'm not really blown away anyway. So I'm not sure there's a franchise quarterback coming out this year.
And I think that's the thing right there. Are any of these quarterbacks coming out going to be for sure better than a Shedeur Sanders? Yeah, you don't, but you do your research. And I just don't know if I believe in a Fernando Mendoza or a Ty Simpson. Maybe a Dante Moore if he comes out, and I think he will, but he's a guy that still needs some seasoning as well,
If you draft one, who are you going to throw the ball to?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I think there's just, with those two first-round picks, there's other holes, like you guys mentioned, that they need to address.
Mendoza has definitely grown on me, though. I was touting his talents coming when he moved from Cal to Indiana during the summer and stuff. I was just saying how I thought Indiana was going to be better than it was last year, and it may not show on their record. It definitely has. I think Mendoza is a player, and I think he's cerebral. I think he can do a lot of things for you. He could grow on me as this draft gets closer.
We mentioned the Buckeye basketball team with a home game this afternoon. They take on Grambling at 2. The Ohio State men's basketball team will make the NCAA tournament this year. Is that the real truth?
Well, after taking on Juggernaut, North Carolina. Do I have that right, Rhymers?
No.
Rhymes? Busta Rhymes in there. After taking on North Carolina in a neutral site. It was a neutral site, wasn't it?
Yep, it was in Atlanta.
Yeah, in Atlanta. You know what I mean by neutral. I mean, it was still big-time North Carolina backing.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged by what I've seen. And number two, man, I hope they do, because I really like Bruce Thornton. I think I've seen Bruce Thornton grow up, man, over the last 3 years and become, I think, a big-time threat. And he deserves, I think, that kind of platform. So, yes, I think they can make the NCAA tournament.
There's absolutely nobody in college basketball more deserving to make an NCAA tournament than Bruce Thornton.
Yep.
That, I think there's confidence that this team can, like you're mentioning, they fought back to come and have a shot to win it against North Carolina. They just ultimately couldn't get it done. They fought back against West Virginia and got the job done there. So they've shown great resiliency in tough situational games and come over the top in one of the two. But I think there is some belief there. Like, the front court, it still has some work to do, especially against some of the bigger teams in the Big Ten.
Yep.
But it is much improved than the previous years. Like, Christoph Tilley is shooting a career high on 2%, on two-point shots. I think it's like 62% or something like that. And I think Amari Bynum's been awesome, and he's going to continue to grow. So I think there's definitely some belief there, and, like, I think they will get to the tournament.
It sure would have been nice if they could have pulled off that win on Saturday over North Carolina, for one, to rub it in Jacob's face in there as he's wearing his Ohio State sweatshirt today because the Buckeyes are playing. But yeah. Number two,
he's a hot water, cold water guy.
We're neutral over here.
That would have been a win that the selection committee at the end of the year could have circled for Ohio State and said, hey, they have this win. That's a data point to put them in over someone else.
You can still circle it, though. I mean, because it was the way they came back and stuff, it was still a competitive big-time game against a big-time opponent.
We said that about Kentucky last year, though. Like, that was a huge win given the circumstances. But then you didn't have the wins in January and February right. to back it up.
Right.
That's where it's really going to come down to, is if you're turning those losses that there were last year into wins.
And January has been the month the past couple of years
yep.
that has really been yes. this Buckeye basketball team's downfall.
Why is that, by the way? Because it gets really cold?
Yeah.
That Big Ten physicality, that's where it's going to be interesting with this front court.
You already hit the nail on the head.
How they do.
That is the challenge. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We'll get back to the Cotton Bowl coming up next. Mario Cristobal spoke as well. We will let you hear from the Hurricanes coach. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Men, we hear it.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, the Fan.
Do you hate?
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will see patchy drizzle for us today. Otherwise cloudy to mostly cloudy skies and mild with highs in the low 50s and gusty winds out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows right around freezing. And then for Christmas Eve on Wednesday, partly sunny and still mild with highs in the mid 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. And we here at Bishop and Friends are sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. No Bo, no Reese today. I'm here, though. I got Tim May with me. Jacob Reimer as well. We'll talk to Uncle Dom a little Tuesdays with DeBerry coming up next. Mario Cristobal, the head coach for the Miami Hurricanes, who the Buckeyes will take on in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve. He had some media availability yesterday and had some things to talk about with the Buckeyes and the Canes matchup. And one of the things a lot of people have talked about is the bye. Last year, we know, in the college football playoff, none of the teams who had the bye in the first round won in that second round. So it was not an advantage.
It was a bye-bye.
Yeah, and it was not an advantage for any of those teams. Mario Cristobal was asked about that yesterday, if there was any advantages with his team playing while Ohio State was not.
I mean, that's gone back and forth in so many different ways over the years. And I think if you could, you know, put in a bottle and sell it, you'd be a billionaire, man. It's the bye weeks and the extra time off sometimes has been great for people and sometimes it hasn't. And then the vice versa as it relates to playing. So to each his own, right? However you use it and what you get out of it is what ends up showing up on game day. But I don't think there's an exact predictor of success or non-success as it relates to time off.
I don't know if it matters or not, and I think last year was an anomaly because of the way the things were seeded. Some of those teams that got the byes maybe were not the better team and didn't deserve
the
bye.
Yeah, they fixed that part of it. They fixed that part of it this year.
And that played out on the field. The time off is nothing. I think it's a wash because Miami didn't play the Big Ten championship week. Ohio State did. So the time off is basically pretty much the same. The one difference where you could have an advantage possibly, though, is they did play last week. So they've had a little time to knock the rust off, so to say, where Ohio State, if there's any rust, they will not have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I think it was Booger McFarland, I think, who eloquently put it. There's a fine line between rest and rust, one letter. And, and so Ryan Day wanted the bye. He wanted to be the number one seed. He wanted, you know, to have that bye, and he got it, obviously, as the number two seed. So, but he had already in his mind, he and Mickey Marotti especially, had been plotting how they would deal with the off week. Because here's the thing, you never know how you're going, you as a team are going to be physically headed into this lull, whether you got banged up against Indiana, for example, or the last couple of games of the year, or some guys need rest. Clearly, it has helped Ohio State in the terms of Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, the best wide receiver tandem in the country. Looks like they're going to be 100%. Tegra Shabola is not going to be back in time for at least this game and maybe the next one. We'll see if he gets back to right guard, but they've been trying to bring on Gabe Van Sickle there anyway. Otherwise, you try to practice to where you keep that speed edge to you. I call it velocity that a team develops. But you can't afford to practice so hard that you get guys banged up on a regular basis. Now, I'm under the impression Ohio State's done a pretty good job of that so far. When you talk to the players and stuff, they've liked the speed of things because football players want to play football. Is even Gene Smith said that, I mean, a couple of years ago, and he was right. They would much rather play football than practice it. And so we'll see how it goes, but we're not going to know. We're not going to know until about 9:30 or 10 o'clock or maybe on New Year's Eve, whether it's helped or hurt Ohio State. And how do you judge that anyway, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you come out and you're just like slow and sluggish and the other team looks a step faster, even though they really aren't, then that would be a good harbinger that, in fact, the layoff affected you. But we're not going to know that until then.
And I do think with them changing the seeding and the byes and all of that, I do think that is going to make a difference this year in this college football playoff. We talked earlier about that 0-2 national championship game, and a lot of people have been bringing it up. Mario Cristobal said, though, that this game isn't about history.
I think games like this with two storied programs, I think people are always going to want to, I don't know, pull out history and draw, comparisons and all that other stuff, and moments like that, which are, they're valid, they're real. It's what makes college football awesome, the pageantry. But this game is the 2025 Hurricanes and Buckeyes going at it, right? To be determined by the 22 guys on the field, one snap at a time. So that's going to be the focus, and that's where all our attention will be.
That is so well put. I mean, like we were talking about start of the jump of this show about traditions and teams. You know, remember when Ohio State had that whatever game winning streak against Michigan? Remember when Michigan got whatever? But it really has nothing to do with this year's game because the teams are so different. The coaches are different, et cetera. I mean, you'll look back on it and stack them against each other, on top of each other, but it really is about this year's team. That team in 2002, Miami, was as star-studded as you could get in college football. But as it turned out, so was Ohio State's team that year. You look at these teams this year, and they've got stars on them, and some guys are rising. Some guys are just coming into their own. Then you've got this, kind of an X factor in Carson Beck. How good is Carson Beck really? You know what I mean? You don't really have history to lean on when you're trying to assess this matchup. So I agree with him 100%. This is about this year and these teams putting it together.
Tim, you and I may not want to think about this, but by the time that ball kicks on New Year's Eve, it'll almost have been 23 years to the day that 2002 national championship game.
I like looking back on it. I think it's cool. I mean, it was a hell of a football game. And I remember back then, though, the talk was about expanding the playoffs to like four teams, you know, and then maybe more than that. And I just remember writing a story quoting quite a few people is that game was played at such an intensity. I can't imagine playing three games like that in a row. Mm-hmm. Then I watched it last year happen. And there was four games in a row by Ohio State. And I go, you know, was that luck? Was that preparation? Was it a combination of both that basically kept Ohio State fairly healthy through that run? Because that was huge, man. You lose your quarterback, you lose your starting quarterback in any of these things, you're a different football team. So that's, you always have to keep that in the back of your mind, but you can't let that mess with you. You know, you've got it's an interesting thing. Like Max Clair, the tight end for Ohio State, pointed out yesterday, you got to play this like it's the last game of the year. And if you win it, then you move on to the next one. It's so much like the NFL now, playoffs. It's crazy because you got to let it all hang out on December 31st or you don't play the next in a week and a half. So it's quite the exercise. But I think down the road, you're going to see a football team get banged up on its way to what it hopes is a national championship. And then they may redress some of these concerns.
I love looking back on that 0-2 game because that's one of my favorite Ohio State football teams of all time. I just don't like thinking it was 23 years ago. And you talk about teams getting banged up
like
on this run.
What were you, like 8 years old then?
No, I was 22 years old then.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
No. I think you talked about that with the teams getting banged up along the way. I will always think that's one of the most special things about that 2014 Ohio State National Championship team, and that they were truly, without a doubt, the best team because they did that with their third-string quarterback.
Well, yeah, third-string in preseason camp. I mean, you know, he ended up, you know, was second string the entire regular season. I'm talking about Cardale Jones. And, but it is, yeah. I mean, I think Urban Meyer said this best. They recruit you at Ohio State to play at Ohio State, not to like just be a member of a team and be a good time Charlie out there and stuff. And you give it up to Cardale Jones about the way he rose to the occasion. But the bottom line, you know, he had his travails, his challenges and travails has been well documented earlier in his career. But the way he rose to the occasion was special. But like I said, he was second team really when you get right down to it as that team went along. And then obviously he was paying attention. But you know, his first couple of steps against Michigan when he went in for JT Barrett that day were tentative, to say the least. And they got by with Ezekiel Elliott and the offensive line there at the end, which really held sway. But then, boy, did he come on. But, yeah, that's one of the great things. It was like watching Ohio State last year, man. What would you have given Ohio State for its offensive line coming out of that Michigan game with the way Mason Graham and company held sway? What would you have given? I mean, and the way they replaced a couple of guys. They lost two big-time starters over the course of that season. But then the guys stepped up. I'm with you on that. But the key player, man, you know, Cardale, bless his heart, the key player is still your quarterback.
We'll get Uncle Dom's take on the Cotton Bowl and what he heard yesterday from Ryan Day and the players coming up next. Tuesdays with Tabari, Bishop and Friends on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. This hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
We do it every Tuesday at this time. We head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and talk to 10TV's Dom Tabari. Dom, how is the has the cooking commenced already at your house?
We're getting ready to roll. We are making lasagna, homemade spaghetti, Italian chicken. Yeah, so I got about 23 pounds of meat.
Oh,
that's
boy.
That's going to be the meatballs and the lasagna meat.
That's just a normal Tuesday at your house, right?
Veal, pork, and beef. Stop by. Have a glass of vino.
I may do that, Dom. Dom, this is Tim May. Yeah. I may do that if I get the chance, man. I've got a jam-packed Tuesday going on. But by the way, Dom could make a living as an Italian chef. Am I right about that, Dom?
I don't know. I think it's okay, but it's fun. You should come by. Come by and have a little glass.
I know you've already invited me, and I may bring Ryan Baker with me. Hey, I want to ask you this, man. What's your take on Ryan Day right now? No one's closer to Ryan Day in the media than you are. I mean, I mean that as a compliment. What's just your take on his attitude, his demeanor at this moment?
Well, I think he has an edge, and I think it's reflecting on his players. He told me after they lost to Indiana that he didn't sleep all night, and he was PO'd. I'm not going to use the language you use, but he was PO'd, and I think that continues, and I think that's fired him up. They got used to winning, Tim, and we witnessed after what happened against Michigan a year ago. We witnessed what I call the greatest run in college football history ever, that winning streak, and it went, and they got used to it. And I think there's frustration. He's not going to make excuses. He was asked yesterday about everything that went into it. You and I and everybody around it, we know there were issues. We know they had a banged up offensive line. We know Tegra was injured. Probably shouldn't have played. Probably isn't going to play in the playoff now. And, the O-line that you and I have talked about, all season long with that nastiness, that edge, those guys didn't have it against Indiana. And, as bad as they played, they still could have won that game by two touchdowns. As bad as they played, they still should have, scored in the red zone. And I think that's frustrating him, and I think that's fired him up. But the reality is, and we're not making excuses, these are facts, that was a banged up O-line. And when I hear people say, our O-line's not that good and whatever, and we were finally tested by it, let me tell you what, the week before we witnessed that O-line, in my opinion, play its best game because they dominated the line of scrimmage against a very physical Michigan football team.
I agree with that. They did play their best game of the year against Michigan. One of the big questions leading into yesterday and through this from the Big Ten Championship week and into this playoff was Brian Hartline in trying to balance being the head coach now at South Florida and the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. Well, we found out yesterday that he is not the offensive coordinator right now for this team in this run. He's just working with the wide receivers, coaching them. Ryan Day is going to take over the play calling here for this game against Miami in the Cotton Bowl. Do you believe that was the right decision for this team?
I do. And, I'm pumped for Brian Hartline. I like Brian Hartline. I mean, I remember covering him as a player, but he's got a lot on his plate. And I think that, just the drama that was going on with him leaving. I think that had an effect on the Indiana game as well. But I think that, you know, between Ryan and Keenan Bailey and the other guys, they'll be fine. I mean, it's not like Ryan was brought here to call plays. Urban Meyer brought him here. And Tim May and I saw the detail that, and Tim, I know you'll remember this. It was Urban Meyer getting ready for his last game at Ohio State, the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
And Tim and I were standing in the hallway, and we joked with him that Coach Cooper used to let us go in and watch him game plan.
Yeah.
It was amazing. We'd go in there and Elliot Uzalak and all those guys would be in there.
Well, I wasn't in there with Uzalak, as you well know, but go ahead now.
Yeah, but Joe Hollis and whatever, and we used to be able to go watch them game plan, offense, defense, whatever. And Urban said, "You really did?" And he said, and he came back out. He goes, "All right, you guys got 10 minutes. You can come in." We went in for about, it was more like 35-40 minutes.
Yeah, 35. Yeah.
And Ryan Day ran that meeting and bakes the detail. They were going through one play and what play it would work against certain defenses, every defense that they were going to, could possibly see.
Yeah, front. Every front they could see. Yeah.
Every front they could see and how they would do it. And I mean, we were in there 40 minutes. And it was one play, and they kept going. And then they would, how will we block it this way? I mean, it was the most meticulous thing I'd ever seen. And Ryan Day was running that train, wasn't he, Tim?
Yes, he was. He absolutely was. And I gave insight to him. You know, I've liked Ryan since the first day he showed up. I mean, I've liked him, just his straightforward demeanor. I don't know if you agree Dom, I mean, he's pretty straightforward in everything he does. He's got a sense of humor about him, for sure. He doesn't show it all the time, but he will, if somebody, like, occasionally, I don't necessarily try to be funny, but occasionally you say something funny, I mean, you know, he will smile, crack a smile, even though he's zeroing in on whatever it is about him. But I just always have liked the depth he gets to offensively. If, you know, like we were talking about trying to run that little counter trap, basically a counter play, and what you do if this guy does that. But, you know, obviously everybody does that and stuff. But like he pointed out, Dom, this is a committee that's putting together the game plan, not just one brilliant mind, right? And I think that's what people get lost on when they start talking about an offensive coordinator, at least when it comes to Ohio State football.
Right, and you know, it's – look at Ryan Day's track history. Look at where he's been and what he's done. And, you know, it's hard for Brian Hartline. I mean, he's trying to build a program, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think it's great that he said that he wants to be here for this run with these guys. He brought these receivers here. That receiver room's got his fingerprints all over it. Those guys love him. And, you know, I applaud Brian for doing that. I mean, you know, that he wants to be here. But it's not easy. He's serving two masters, and that is not – that is very, as you know, very difficult to do. And so I don't think Ryan really had a choice. You got to take some of the workload off just because Brian, you know, not been here for a lot of the stuff. And Brian also is, you know, got two hats he's wearing these days.
And here's the thing. I mean, you've been around Ryan. He wants to win this second straight national championship. I know. I mean, I know everybody who's still in it wants to win it. But, I mean, he is driven by the idea of repeat national champion, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, that's the one thing. And I know Ryan raised some eyebrows when he said it, when he said, "Hey, we want to be the first team." I mean, and he did this right after winning the first one.
Yeah, he did.
So we want to be, and I was surprised, and, you know, I said something to some other folks, and they just said, "Oh, really? Well, okay." You know, like, and I'm talking some football people that were surprised he said it. And he went out and he put himself out front saying, "We want to be the first team in the history of Ohio State to win back-to-backs." And, you know, he said it. And, you know, I liken a little bit to when Jim Harbaugh was at Michigan and guaranteed victory against Earl Bruce.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bo Schembechler said, "Well, he said it. Now we got to go back him up." Well, you know, his players, you know, the one thing that I will say about Ryan Day is the players have his back. They love that guy. And, you know, I think part of it, Tim, came from that all players meeting, because he did that. He opened up, and you know, and we don't know for sure what was all said in there. You know, there's been a lot of speculation and everything, but the fact that he did it and the fact that he owned it resonated with those kids. And, you know, between him and then I see a guy like Matt Patricia, Tim, we've seen that, the relationship these coaches have with these players. Matt Patricia, after practice, just sits around and jokes with all his guys. And, you know, that means volumes to these kids. And these are good kids. And as Coach said, you know, knock on wood, he's not worrying about them getting in trouble, because, you know, these guys have big goals. And, you know, plus the way, you know, the one thing is, and I've seen a little bit of practice and you've seen, you know, some, he coaches these kids hard. Don't think that, you know, he said part of what his magic is he brings the right kids here that he can coach hard. And when I say coach hard, folks, he gets after them.
Dummy, I'm glad you guys talked about back-to-back national championships. Obviously never done here before. All of us were around for 02 and 14 and last year. Last one here for you. Could you even imagine what that would be like if they get that done and win back-to-back, what it's going to be like in this city?
It would be absolutely, you know, unprecedented. I mean, you think about how great Woody Hayes was and some of the great teams he had, and he never won back-to-back. You know, Urban Meyer won two national titles at Florida, but only got one here. Probably should have had a better team probably in 2015. It's hard to do.
Yep.
It's not easy to do. I mean, that team in 2015 probably was a better team. You think about Tress's being able to, you know, play for multiple national titles and, you know, only got one. But, you know, to go back to back, that is hard. And, you know, I said it before and I'll say it again. Ryan Day had the magic formula a year ago. And people go, does he have it? I said, well, he knew what it took a year ago, but this is a totally different animal. It's different players. And they got to go make their own history. And that's something he said from the get-go. We're taking down the stuff. What, you know, and he's absolutely right. I remember the first time I heard him say, we're not defending anything. We won the national title. They're not taking that away. That's done. That's over. And I love the fact that that's the way he took that. The one thing I know this, Bakes, and Tim sees it every day, Ryan Day is very calculated. Everything he does has been figured out and worked on. I mean, he leaves nothing to chance. There's a little bit of, well, he's quite a bit like Jim Tressel. Well, they were all, but Jim Tressel, I used to joke, Jim Tressel knew what kind of laundry detergent they were using. I mean, he knew everything.
Detail. But
Ryan Day,
detail.
Every move, I mean, it is the details, and they, all the great ones have it. I mean, Urban had details. These guys, but Ryan Day is at a different level, and it's going to be fun to see. Are they going to repeat? I think they're the favorites. Vegas thinks they're the favorites. I think they definitely can do it. But, you know, I thought they'd beat Indiana, too, and they should have. But
that's right.
Weird things happen. Weird things can happen.
The ball is an oblong spheroid, which means it doesn't always bounce the way you think.
Dom, I think I heard that oven ding. It must be preheated. That means you're time to get over there and start cooking. Tim and I will be done at noon, so we'll see you soon.
All right. Happy Christmas, everyone. Love y'all.
It's Tuesdays with DeBerry, Dom DeBerry on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit Thing or Not a Thing coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Oh, This is the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. We've seen the resiliency that your team has shown the last couple of games when they've fallen behind. Is that a trait that a team can kind of develop, especially as they continue to go through those kind of situations, Jake?
I think so, but it's also something you can recruit, something you identify in the guys you bring in, and it's a pillar, really, of who we are as a program. So we fight all the way to the end. We play tough. We play with urgency, and you know, I think in those moments, it's kind of who we are. So I'm not surprised that this team has done it because of the guys we recruited, and it's something we work on every day.
And you've taken care of the ball the way you have. Only 6 turnovers in the last game. Does that kind of help when you're trying to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it becomes a numbers game to some degree as far as possessions, and you certainly don't want to waste them. And we've done a good job taking care of the ball. It's going to be a huge challenge for us in our next game. Our next opponent does a great job of turning teams over. So, you know, Bruce has obviously led the way for us in that regard and needs to continue to do so.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center,
the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Jake, as your team gets ready to take on Grambling State, what's kind of the thoughts you have about them as they come in for this game?
Well, offensively, we got to really protect the ball. We got to protect the ball. We got to play through the paint. Those two things are going to be important. We got to get on the glass. It's going to be important. And then defensively, we got to protect the paint. You know, they do a really good job. They're disruptive defensively. So part of our defense is taking care of the ball. And then when we get down on the other side, we got to protect the paint. We got to know personnel at a high level because they got some guys who are shooting the ball really well. And listen, they got a really dynamic freshman who's playing at a high level. So they're a good team. They're a good team, and we got to be ready, you know, to play our best version of Ohio State basketball.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota, like the best-selling Toyota Camry. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Camrys, or lease a new 26 Camry LE for $269 a month for 39 months with $3,699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra, call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Common Man here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Coming up at the top of the hour, going to hit a lot of NFL. We'll do the NFL Blitz from last week as the NFL week wrapped up last night with Monday Night Football. Then we will try to beat the house as well, as we've got games on Christmas Day and best of shows the next 2 days. So Rhyme Time and Tim May will try to beat the house. Right now, though, thing or not a thing.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
The Kansas City Chiefs announced on Monday that they will be leaving Arrowhead Stadium, their longtime home venue that's on the Missouri side of Kansas City, for a new $3 billion dome stadium that will be built across the Kansas-Missouri state line and will be ready for the start of 2031. The announcement came shortly after Council of Kansas lawmakers voted unanimously to allow for sales tax and revenue bonds to be issued to cover up to 70% of the cost of the stadium and accompanying mixed-use district. The bonds, which are estimated to be around $2.4 billion, will be paid off with state sales and liquor tax revenues generated in a defined area around the stadium. Chiefs owner Clark Hunt said that the family will commit $1 billion in additional development and funds. The site for the new stadium has not been decided yet, but Kansas Governor Laura Kelly said that it will be in Wyandotte County, and the Chiefs are interested in having the stadium built in Kansas City, Kansas, near the Kansas Speedway, in a retail entertainment district known as the Legends. The team will also build a new $300 million training facility in Olathe, Kansas. Thing or not a thing?
That was a long thing.
A long thing.
Definitely a thing. And not that they're previous stadium was located in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, you know, in the complex they've got there with the baseball stadium, a longtime complex. I've always liked Arrowhead Stadium. I thought it was ahead of its time when they finally, when they built that thing. But it's definitely a thing, man, because it's definitely a thing in terms of, number one, they probably do need a new place finally. And number two, it shows how much when private and government or whatever work together, private and state work together, what you can bring to a certain area. But that's a wide open kind of area from what I've been able to tell just from flying over where Kansas Speedway is. So the development's kind of like what the Browns are trying to do with their move and stuff, and so many things are tied into it. You know, they got to really set the ball in motion for those things with Jerry Jones down in Dallas when they moved to Frisco. Have you ever been to the Star in Frisco?
I'm not.
Okay, but I mean, now it's like shopping, all kinds of things around it and stuff. It's a destination unto itself. So I would say it's a thing. It's a really big thing, and it shows the can attitude of Kansas.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing, too, just because, like, I feel like just the past decade or so, Arrowhead Stadium has become a big-time NFL venue because of all the high-level football that's been played there and meaningful football that's been played there. And I'm kind of sad that it's going to, knowing that it's going to be going away at some point. And I can guarantee you that there's going to be a Final Four and a national championship in college basketball played in this new stadium 5 years after it's opened.
So it's interesting. My best friend lives in Kansas City, and I was just out there a week and a half ago.
I know.
And this is a big thing out there. I don't think people understand the rivalry that is Kansas City with the Kansas and Missouri side of things.
Mentioned that yesterday with Kansas and Missouri basketball. Yes. Like they hate each other.
Yes, and how huge this is there out there right now, and how Missouri is already putting together things to try to fight this and keep Arrowhead where it is. The people out there kind of seem to think, as of just like 10 days ago, that the baseball stadium was going to move into a new spot in towards Kansas side of downtown Kansas City, but that Arrowhead was going to stay and they were going to renovate all of that. Obviously, that's not the case. And like I said, I don't know if people here in Columbus, Ohio understand how big of a thing this is out in Kansas City right now, because those two, that state line, they hate each other over there. That is for sure.
Yeah, but at least now people don't have to say, wait, Kansas City, is that in Missouri?
it will be weird, though, with the Chiefs not being at Arrowhead, because that's been such a iconic stadium and venue and atmosphere.
But I understand why they're doing it. I understand why the state of Kansas is bending over backwards to do it. And the city of Kansas City, Kansas, is definitely involved. So, you know, time marches on.
We will blitz the NFL weekend coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends, 97.1 The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Come on!
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets got three power play goals last night, and they beat the Los Angeles Kings 3-1. Newly acquired Mason Marchment scored two of those goals. Kirill Marchenko got the other. The Jackets are now off until Sunday. They'll host the Islanders at 5. Brock Purdy, what a game for him on Monday Night Football. He throws for 295 yards and a career-high 5 touchdowns. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Indianapolis Colts 48-27. The 19th-ranked Ohio State women's basketball team has won 9 straight. They beat Western Michigan 95-47 last night. And the Ohio State men's basketball team hosts Grambling at 2. The Fan warm-up show comes your way at 1. This one's sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better, schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news as it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Final hour of the program on this Getaway Tuesday edition of the program. No shows tomorrow or on Christmas Day for us. Well, I guess that's not true. No live shows. We will have best of shows for you on your Christmas Eve and Christmas holiday. Right now, it's time to blitz the NFL weekend.
Chip and Friends present NFL Blitz.
Sponsored by Monogram Homes. Go custom. Go Monogram. Visit monogramhomes.net to start building.
Jacob, rhyme time. We will start it off with you. I believe I had that. What did you have in the NFL weekend?
I believe that I had Joe Burrow and the Bengals would carve up the Dolphins. What, Tim?
I had that also. I was waiting for the, you know, leading the ewers to the slaughter.
45-21 win, and Joe Burrow threw for 309, kind of got locked back in after the comments he made throughout the week with the media that was just turning a lot of heads. Like, yeah. Is he okay? What's all this? And then he just went out there and carved up the Dolphins.
Clinic. He put on a clinic. That was mine, so I'll just enhance it. I was impressed by the clinic. I was also impressed by the Bengals defense making a few plays, which has been few and far between. But then I considered also what they were going against. But that was mine also. Bake.
I actually had Joe Burrow written down too, so we're all three. I'll switch mine up here, and I will go. Let's go back to last Thursday night. I believe I had that both the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams were pretty good teams, and that was going to be a heck of a football game.
Oh, I thought you meant you had the fourth quarter. I thought you figured that out.
And that's the crazy thing about it, is because you thought that was going to be a super competitive football game, and you start the fourth quarter, and it really wasn't. It was 30-14.
Exactly.
The Rams, and then all of a sudden, everybody goes to bed, and the Seahawks come roaring back in one of the craziest ways ever, and just an insane finish. The NFC West with the 49ers, the Rams, and the Seattle Seahawks is a heck of a division. I did not have that. Jacob, what did you not have?
I did not have the Bears being this good this quick under Ben Johnson. Like, they're going to win the division, it looks like, as long as they stay true to themselves and take care of business. But they had an unbelievable win against the Packers in Chicago on Saturday. Like, that game was incredible, and Caleb Williams having that monster throw to DJ Moore at the end, and it was an overtime. Like, it was just an absolute scene, and it's
magic.
It's crazy what the Bears are doing right now.
Yeah, I did not have New England making this massive turnaround under Vrabel. I thought they would get there, but that's a team you can tell believes in itself, man. Believes in its quarterback again. They've got that feeling about them, And then the way they were able to clinch the playoffs, it's really funny saying New England is rejoicing by clinching the playoffs when you consider their longtime their history over the last 2.5-3 decades. But I did not have that, and so kudos.
Kind of similar vein to what you had with Chicago. I did not have Liam Cohen turning the Jacksonville Jaguars around. And not only was it... Oh, here, we'll give you that. not only is Liam Cohen a first-time head coach, but he's got a first-time offensive coordinator and a first-time defensive coordinator as well.
Yeah.
And I just did not think that that was going to bode well for the Jaguars, but they have clinched a playoff now. They decimated the Broncos in Mile High, and that doesn't happen very often. I cannot believe what we are seeing they out found, of the Jacksonville
They found a
Jaguars.
Way to make Trevor Lawrence look acceptable.
That is true.
Are they like the scariest team in the AFC right now? I know Denver's still up there. New England's been awesome, but like the way they're playing right now is kind of terrifying.
They're playing really good. I feel like it's probably New England still because of what Drake May and Travion Henderson. I know he got banged up a little bit, but he's coming on, and Stephon Diggs. But yeah, it's very possible that with that running game and if Trevor Lawrence plays like he did on Sunday, they could be player who impressed. Who's the player that impressed you, Jacob?
Shout out my guy, Drake May, former Carolina Tar Heel. And the way that he responded after the game against the Bills to come out on the road in Baltimore at night, which isn't easy, going 31-44 for 380 yards and 2 touchdowns, was just awesome game there for him.
My one of the reasons
Drake May.
I'm with you. One of the reasons I like Drake May is on that draft night when he talked about the four May boys because he had I think 3 brothers. That's what my dad used to call me and my 3 brothers,
you know,
the four
May
boys.
One?
Yeah, of course we. We don't have an E on the end of our name, but my guy, the player impressed, once again, you got to watch the whole game, right, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, shut out in the first half, and then, you know, the leading receiver in the National Football League and one of the great guys you'll ever meet. Wow, I'm just wowed by what he's doing.
Probably going to win Offensive Player of the Year, too.
Yep.
Yeah, he's...
Was that your guy? I'm sorry.
No. I remember when...
When
Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson at that Rose Bowl said Jaxon Smith-Njigba was better than both of them, I was like, you guys are crazy. You're just doing that. You're being good teammates. I mean, he is better than them right now, and that's pretty crazy to think.
Olave, man, having a resurgence, though. Look out. The guy almost quit football.
Guy you mentioned just a minute ago, Tim, I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. To go into Mile High and get a big win like that was very impressive. His numbers on the season don't wow you, but he was really good and efficient the other day. 23 of 36 for 279 yards and 3 touchdowns. And again, not only going into Mile High and beating that Broncos team, but beating them the way they did. Super impressive. Who was your player that disappointed, Jacob?
This is going to be players, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. I think you'll see a theme here. Like, I'm going with this game a lot because the Ravens added to the graphic that they have of blown leads, and it's been sent in a group chat of mine that I have a buddy that's a Baltimore Ravens fan, and you can add Sunday night's game to the graphic because they led 24-13 with 9 minutes and 3 seconds left in the fourth quarter and ended up losing.
My player disappointed would be a double whammy also. Dak Prescott, only because when's it going to happen? Jerry Jones is not getting any younger, and just the way the Cowboys couldn't get it done. And then, of course, like you just said, Lamar Jackson, to see him and Derrick Henry standing there on the sidelines with their team desperately needing a win and them not being able to go for whatever reason, it's just, wow, kind of stunning.
I'm going to go with someone that you could probably have gone with for mostly the past month, and that's Baker Mayfield. In a game where you had to win, and Baker wasn't terrible in this. The numbers aren't crazy, 18-26, 145, and a touchdown, but a really, really bad pick. A game where you need your quarterback to step up and make a play, to get a win for you, to help solidify a playoff spot. just hasn't been right for Bake the past. As good as it was early on in the season, it's not been good for the past month, and it doesn't look like it's getting better.
But the last thing you ever think about is Evans stopping that route and trying to go back inside and stuff. That was on the receiver, in my opinion, that play. That was a poor choice by the wide receiver. And sometimes when you let the ball go and then the guy's going another direction suddenly, you're going to look like a fool.
Bud Kilmer, honorary head coach of the week. Jacob, who you got?
I will go with Mike Vrabel because, like you were mentioning earlier, the turnaround that he's had with them. But it's more on the fact that they blew the game against Buffalo, and to get your guys to regroup in a very tough atmosphere against a desperate team that needs a win, and you're trailing by two scores in this game in the fourth quarter, to come back and win this game is very impressive.
Ben Johnson, I mean, what they've done is nuts, and once again it paid off. I mean, I thought that was a lost cause up there, especially with Caleb Williams. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know how to explain what we've seen, but I'm blowing a lot of it. Maybe I'll change that to but his head coach of the week, right? JT Barrett's done wonders with Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go Liam Cohen here because I've already done enough Jacksonville
Jaguars.
Yes, you have. But I'm going to go Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, another season over 500. It looks like they are for sure. It's not for sure, but it sure looks like they are going to win the AFC North. They are playing to go into Detroit and get that win. And I know it was crazy at the end of that game. But all Mike Tomlin ever does is finish over 500. He's never been under 500 in his career. It's amazing what that organization does. People talk about they want to get rid of him. That just seems crazy to me.
That's idiots.
If they got rid of Mike Tomlin, 31 other teams would be calling to get him on their team the next day.
I 100%
would. The run of success that he's had is tremendous.
Yeah, that's a good call on that. And number two, what a division! I mean, they're going to win the division, aren't they?
Yeah. And who? I mean, I actually
crazy.
I actually picked them at the beginning of the year to win the division, yeah. But nobody thought this division was going to be as bad as it has turned out to be this year.
There used to be the black and blue, right, division. No, that was the NFC Central way back in the day. But this one's close to it, man. Some beat-up-looking teams.
And they're playing good right now, and Aaron Rodgers is playing pretty good, too.
He's playing good enough. That's the main thing.
Jacob, your top three teams in the league right now.
I've got Seahawks, Broncos, and then the Patriots.
I've got Seattle, the Rams, and the Broncos.
I have the Patriots, the Seahawks, and the Rams. I just couldn't keep the Broncos in there after Jacksonville dismantled them like
everybody
that.
Everybody has a slip.
And your Super Bowl right now, Jacob.
I will be going to a rematch of Super Bowl 49 with the Seahawks against the Patriots.
Ooh. That's exactly what I wrote down. And it's hard for me to believe that I am saying that with Sam Darnold at quarterback and Drake May at quarterback. I mean, what people thought about them maybe even a year ago. But I'm going with Seahawks and Patriots, final answer.
I did mine different. I flipped them. I put the Patriots and the Seahawks. So all three of us have the same Bowl matchup right now.
Let's go.
Tim and Jacob, Bo and Eric were really good last week. You guys are going to have to be really good this week to top them and beat the house. That's next. It's Bishop and Friends, 97.1 The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Okay, Santa.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Hey, it's Berm.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will see patchy drizzle for us today. Otherwise cloudy to mostly cloudy skies and mild with highs in the low 50s and gusty winds out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows right around freezing. And then for Christmas Eve on Wednesday, partly sunny and still mild with highs in the mid 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
We'll talk with ESPN senior college football writer Adam Rittenberg here at the bottom of the hour to talk about the college football playoff, the matchups that were last weekend, and the matchups coming up New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Right now, Tim and Jacob try to beat the house.
The House.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
So, Bo and Reese, Reese especially, had a pretty good week last week. Reeser went 13-3. And he got his record back to 500 for the first time all season long. Bo got the Monday night game last night, so he went 9-7 on the year. He is 12 games over 500 for the season, so hopefully you guys can top them. It all gets underway Christmas Day in the nation's capital at 1 p.m. The Dallas Cowboys taking on the Washington Commanders, and the Commanders are the home dog, Tim May, by 6.5 points.
You know what? Just when you start thinking the Cowboys have got it all together, then they go on this slide, whatever. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys because they'll be home for Christmas by the time their charter flight lands. I'm going to go with the Cowboys, even though they're, 6.5-point favorites. I'm going for them not only to win outright but to cover.
I'm very thankful that there will be NBA games on because all three of these games are going to be very gross.
You snooze, you lose.
I will be with you with Tim and taking the Cowboys laying the 6. I just don't really like what the Commanders have right now. So
at 4:30, the Detroit Lions head to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Lions are the favorites on the road, Jacob, giving 6.
Bounce back game. I like the Lions here. I'll take them laying the 6, too.
I concur, and also pop J.J. McCarthy while they're doing it.
At 8:15 Christmas night, a game that we thought was going to be good has turned out not to be good. The Denver Broncos heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. And I don't know, maybe Jacob Reimer is quarterbacking the Chiefs this weekend.
I was going to say, who's quarterbacking?
Gardner Minshew has blown out his knee, too. Tim May, the Denver Broncos are the favorites on the road by 12.5.
I'm not wasting any time. I like the Broncos. I like the Broncos to cover in this one. And enough said.
Yeah, I might go Broncos by like 20 plus in this game. Like there's not going to be any sort of offense from Kansas City.
And their defense has been sort of found out. But you know what? When you're not scoring, that's what you look like.
And they're angry that they just lost. They have a chance now to sweep the Chiefs in the season for the first time in how long?
Yeah, a long time.
If you would have looked
probably since the AFL days.
If you would have looked at the beginning of the season and looked at these Christmas Day matchups, you would have been like, oh, man, all of these are really good.
Yeah.
Not so much.
We were talking about that the other day. The NFL, in some respects, is upside down. So
we've got Saturday NFL games this week. At 4:30, the Houston Texans on the road taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Jacob, the Chargers are the favorites by 2.5 at home.
The Chargers have looked really good as of late. They're at home, and it's a—I mean, so the Texans, but they did just kind of have a stinky game against the Raiders, kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit. Nico Collins wasn't entirely good. CJ had an okay day. I will take the points. I think Houston will respond better in a bigger game right here.
Amen. I agree with that 100%. I like I like Houston not only to is it cover, but also to win outright.
I don't like you guys picking the same games all the time. This isn't any fun, daggone
it. I'm trying. I'm sorry.
8 p.m., the Baltimore Ravens head to take on the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. The Ravens on the road are the dog, 2.5 points.
I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. Final answer for all kinds of reasons. The Ravens. Wow. Maybe John Harbaugh will be the next head coach at Michigan. Right? Am I right? Did I say something wrong?
I don't know. I don't think that's happening.
What worries me is that some of these look too obvious. Yeah. I don't know what's up with Lamar and what's up with Derrick Henry. But Jordan Love is out or is questionable, right? He's in concussion protocol or something like that.
Right.
If he's not playing, that's a big thing. So I'll be different here and I'll go with Baltimore.
I like that. We got a big slate of games on Sunday this week. The Arizona Cardinals in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals, going east or west to east this week. The Bengals, 7-point home favorites.
Now, the pick is do they cover or is the pick is do they win?
Do they cover.
Okay. I see Arizona covering, but I see the Bengals winning.
I'll be different here. I'll go with the Bengals laying a touchdown. I don't like the Cardinals traveling across the country. And Joe Burrow looks like he's locked back in now, wants to finish the season strong.
Two in a row. I like that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are up in Cleveland this week, taking on Shador and the Browns. The Browns, Jacob Reimer, are the dogs at home, 3.5.
I don't like that hook. If it was a straight three, then I'd be all over that. I still feel like I am. It's going to be a tough spot because you just had that very tight and emotional win up in Detroit. So that's where it could get a little dicey, but I still feel like at the end of the day, we're here down towards the end of the season. The best teams are going to prevail, and I like the Steelers to roll.
Yeah, I like the Browns to cover, but I like the Steelers to win.
The New Orleans Saints taking on the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. The Saints are the favorites on the road, 2.5.
I like the Saints. When they come marching in, they've got Chris Olave rolling again. I mean, you could throw a lot of reasons out there. Tennessee, are they pulling a magic act right now? What is going on with Tennessee? So I will go with the New Orleans Saints to cover.
This is a very gross game.
It is.
I think.
Yeah, it is. I didn't say that because I wanted to give it. I just don't understand how they get people to show up for games like this in the stands. You got me?
I'm going to go with the Saints because the Titans just beat the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs didn't have Mahomes or anything like that, but it's still the name next to them. That's a very big win for Tennessee.
AFC South matchup, two teams going in opposite directions. The Jaguars in Indy taking on the Colts. The Jaguars favored by 7.
It's me?
Yep.
Yeah.
I will go with the Colts to cover. I feel like they showed a little something last night on Monday Night Football. And it's always weird, the divisional games on the road. So I'll take the Colts here. I'll trust Phillip Rivers.
I'm going to agree with the Colts to cover, Jaguars to win.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 5.5-point favorites down in Miami, taking on Quinn Ewers and the Dolphins.
I like Tampa Bay, and I like Tampa Bay to cover. Final answer.
Yeah, I like Tampa as well in a bounce-back spot.
Correct.
I think they know what's at stake here. They need to take care of business and win out the rest of the way.
Drake May and the New England Patriots in New York taking on the Jets. Oh, big number here.
It's a very big number.
13.5 the Patriots are laying.
But the Jets just had a stinker at New Orleans.
Ugh.
I love Drake May. Give me the Patriots.
I'm 100% agreement. There's something about this Patriots team that looks mighty nice, mighty fine at this time of the year. Mike Vrabel's not going to let them slide, I don't believe. So give me the Patriots and to cover.
Boy, every week Mike Vrabel makes the Tennessee Titans look stupid, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
The last game in the 1 o'clock slate.
Wait a minute. Stupid is as stupid does, sir.
The last game in that 1 o'clock slate, the Seattle Seahawks. 7.5-point favorites traveling across the country to take on the Carolina Panthers.
Man, there's something about those Carolina Panthers right now that's undeniable. And Lathan Ransom, man, you throw a ball out there, he's going to intercept it, right? I mean, and wasn't we were talking about that play a minute ago? Bake? But I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. I just like the trajectory of this football team. So Seattle Seahawks, not only to win, but to cover.
I'm going to take the Seahawks as well because I feel like the Panthers got up big for that game against the Bucks. And the Seahawks have been great all over the place this year. One of the best teams against the spread. So I'm going to take the Seahawks.
405, the New York Giants in Vegas taking on the Raiders. The Raiders are the home favorite by a point and a half, Jacob.
If you bet on this game, call the number.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with the Giants, though. I feel like I have more belief in Jackson Dart, which I don't like. Okay. How I just said that.
If that's a reason. Man, do we have to even talk about this game? I'm going to go with the Raiders just on a lark, because why not?
At 425, a lot of people thought maybe this could be a Super Bowl matchup. Wow. The Philadelphia Eagles in Buffalo taking on the Bills. The Bills are the favorite at home by a point and a half.
My pick first?
Yep.
Yeah, I like the Bills to cover and win the game outright. Well, obviously.
I do, too. I think Josh Allen is getting hot at the right time, and I think it's going to keep going here.
Sunday Night Football, the Chicago Bears in San Francisco taking on the 49ers. What a game this is. The 49ers are the favorite at home, Jacob, by 3.
Yeah, this game is going to be electric. They give me the freaking over in this game.
That wasn't even on the list.
I know. I just think both offenses are awesome. I think I'm going to take the Niners laying the 3.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. The 49ers won 48-27. I know there was a pick 6 in there, but that's kind of nuts when you think about modern NFL football. I'm going to stick with the Niners also, even though I really like where the Bears have gotten to. I like the 49ers. There's a feel, and Brock Purdy, he's one of my wife's, Susie's, 3 favorite quarterbacks, so I'm going to go with the 49ers to win and cover.
And then Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams, 7.5-point favorites down in Hotlanta, take it on the Falcons.
Oh, man. I like the Rams. They've had a couple of tough games of late, but I like the Rams. Maybe not the cover. I don't know what the feeling is. Kirk Cousins is interesting, an interesting dynamic right now in the middle of this football season. But I like the Rams not to cover, though.
I like the Rams. The Falcons secondary hasn't been all that great, and the Rams have 2 of the best receivers. As long as Davante Adams is healthy and plays like that, they're going to be a problem, I think. So I'll go with the Rams.
Going to be a long wait, but can't wait to see how you boys did next Tuesday morning. We'll get back into the college football playoff talk next. Senior writer for ESPN on college football, Adam Rittenberg, will join the show in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. And Adam, one round of the college football playoff in the book. What were your thoughts on what we saw last weekend, and were there any surprises to you?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. You know, I think the games that we thought would be competitive were competitive, and the ones that weren't, weren't so much. Although James Madison made a nice run there in the second half. I thought that the Alabama-Oklahoma game, transpired a little bit differently than I thought it would, with Oklahoma having that big lead early and then Alabama having to come back. I thought that game would be lower scoring, but I did pick Alabama. I thought they would find a way. And then certainly A&M and Miami, that game being so low scoring. I mean, really, both offenses struggled mightily against good defenses, but also in that weather. That was a little bit surprising. But, I picked all 4 winners, so I'm perfect on the playoff pick so far. We'll see if that continues in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, Adam, this is Tim May, man. I was wondering which one of the quarterfinals really has got your attention more than any other. I mean, do you have a, quote, favorite quarterfinal you're interested in watching?
Yeah, Tim, always good to talk to you.
Man.
They're all very interesting in their own ways. Selfishly, I hope it's Indiana and Alabama because I'll be at that game at the Rose Bowl.
There you go.
But the one that really jumps out to me, guys, is Oregon-Texas Tech. And I think what I like about it so much is that both of these teams have taken a ton of heat in the last year or so, Oregon even longer, for how much they spend on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And it to me, it feels a little disingenuous, especially from the blue blood coaches. It's almost like, you guys shouldn't be spending what the things that we spend for years to build up these rosters. Why not? Why shouldn't Oregon spend money? Look at where they're located. They don't have access to talent, or they have the history like an Ohio State or a Georgia. Look at Texas Tech, where they're located. Cody Campbell doesn't come along. They're a team that's lucky to make bowl games every year, and here they are as the number four seed. So I really like what's happened with both of these rosters. It's been fun to watch them invest and go all in, and they go against one another. And, you know, two really good defenses. Texas Tech is exceptional, guys, on the defensive side of the ball. Oregon also very talented, a number of future NFL players. I would give the Ducks a pretty sizable edge at quarterback in this game with the way that Dante Moore has been playing. But you know, we also saw Oregon let up quite a bit in the second half against James Madison. So, you know, that's a really tough one to forecast. I think it's going to be an awesome matchup with the chance to either go against Indiana or Alabama in the semifinal.
By the way, Lubbock is the hometown of Buddy Holly. You know that. So they have had stars there before. And one of my best friends in high school, Comet Burley, went there and played middle guard for them before he played in the Canadian Football League. So there's another star. Now, I'm just messing with you. Boy, Texas Tech going halfway across the country and Oregon going all the way across the country. What do you think about that? What do you think about where they're playing, Adam?
Yeah, Tim, I loved what Dan Lanning had to say.
Yeah.
I believe it was yesterday about how this game should be played at Texas Tech.
Yes.
What he's saying is we, you know, hey, they're the higher seed. We're the lower seed. They've earned the right to host this game, which has been unbelievable and certainly an even bigger advantage for Texas Tech. But he's right. I mean, I think that should be part of the incentive when you're a top four seed, that you should be able to host at least one playoff game. And until we get to 16 teams or larger, that's not really going to be the case in the playoff model. And so, yeah, I don't really know who it favors. I think that, yeah, I mean, that's such a far place to play for both fan bases. But, you know, Oregon fans travel well. And then Texas Tech fans, I mean, this is their first time in the CFP. I would expect them to come out in force as well. So hopefully that's a good environment down in South Florida.
Yeah, we here at Ohio State got to see that last year hosting that first round playoff game against Tennessee, just how electric those atmospheres can be. Joined by Adam Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Adam, I want to go back before the games were even played. There was obviously a lot of controversy with Miami getting in over Notre Dame, and you've got the two group of five schools there that made it in because the ACC champion wasn't ranked high enough. Do you think the committee got this right this year for round number two of the 12-team playoff?
Well, I you know, it's tough because Alabama does go out and win a game. They certainly didn't look like, of those three teams, the most playoff worthy one down the stretch. But yeah, the real problem, and you highlighted it, is that the ACC did not have its best team in its championship game, and that has to be remedied. If Miami had had a third loss and played their way out, that's one thing. But they, you know, they had an equal record to the teams that played in the ACC championship game, or at least to Duke, and I think would have won that game. And then that creates an opportunity for Notre Dame, and you don't have, you know, two group of five teams in the playoffs. So I can see why they went the way they went. Miami beat Notre Dame head to head. Miami finished the season playing at a really high level, as did Notre Dame. And then Alabama didn't play at a high level, but they also went through their SEC schedule with only one loss in addition to the Florida State loss. So, it was a very difficult situation because the ACC made it a difficult situation, and hopefully that gets remedied for the future. It just feels like every year, guys, it's like, you know, everyone's excited for the playoff, and then we kind of realize the things about it that we screwed up, and we got to fix them every year. So,
yeah,
it's an evolving process. It's again only 2 years into the system.
Well, they fixed the one thing about the top four teams, the two of them not being like also Rans, and now all of a sudden the also Rans are still in it. Now everybody's upset about that, even though they got rid of their conference championship kind of thing. I mean, where do you think this is going, Adam? Do you think eventually it's going to be a 16-team playoff with basically the top 16 teams, no matter how they fall?
Well, Tim, I unless the Big Ten dramatically changes its position, I don't see that. Yeah. The Big Ten has dug in on having more automatic qualifiers, not fewer.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this particular selection impacts that. I'd be surprised if they walk it back and say, "Yeah, now we have full faith in the committee, and we're good with whatever they want to do, top 16, or we'll kind of ride with that." I don't think that's going to happen, and so that's why you have an impasse between the Big Ten and the SEC, because the SEC's model, which is more at large heavy, is the favored model, even by Notre Dame. You know,
yeah, again, of course.
That's the only way they're going to get in. But a number of the other conferences want that model. As long as the Big Ten doesn't, I think we're going to stay at 12. So my prediction for months has been we'll stay at 12 in 2026, and then we'll see if we can find agreement on a model that the Big Ten and the SEC can sign off on, which would be bigger. But I just can't see that model not being, at least partially automatic qualifiers.
Hey, back at home real quick, your early take on Ohio State, Miami. Just what's your take mainly on Ohio State? And, obviously the law, we all saw the Big Ten championship game. They could have won that game just like they lost it, if you follow my drift there. But what's just sure. your take on that matchup, but especially Ohio State?
Yeah, Tim, it's interesting because, Ohio State benefited so much from playing earlier last year in the playoffs. I do wonder if they'll benefit from having a little bit more time to digest what happened in Indianapolis and then make the corrections that they'll need against a team that, I think we all agree they should beat, but has some strengths that could give them problems, namely the defensive line. I mean, Ohio State's offensive line didn't struggle that much, even remotely that much, all season as they did against Indiana. And now you're going to go against, maybe the nation's top pass rusher in Reuben Bain. You got Akeem Mesidor. You got other guys who can get to the quarterback. You saw what they did to Marcel Reed in that first round game. So that would be my concern if I'm Ohio State. I don't think Miami is going to put up a lot of points on you. I think if you play a relatively low mistake game, you're going to find a way to win. But I think this is a time, if I'm Tyler Bowen and I'm Ryan Day, to challenge that offensive line and say, hey, guys, you didn't play very well against Indiana and let them stay in the game. You're going to face a real test again with some NFL level talent coming at you in Miami. So I think that'll be a really interesting subplot of this game. I just look at, Marcel Reed's a nice player, guys. He's a guy that makes a lot of mistakes. I saw it all season, even in that Notre Dame game. I look at Julian Sayin as sort of the opposite. Not very flashy, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, gets the ball out on time, lets his guys make plays around him. And so I think he's sort of the perfect quarterback to beat a Miami defense that's very talented.
Adam, we'll get you out of here on this one. Fast forward to January 19th. Who are the teams playing for the trophy, and who's the team lifting it up?
Yeah, I do my picks literally right after the matchups come out, so I got to stick with those, right? And it's good news for you because I got Ohio State and Indiana again. Wow. This time the Buckeyes winning a slightly higher scoring game. It's kind of like the game we saw in Indy, except that I think both teams will take a little more advantage of their scoring opportunities, especially the Buckeyes. But, there's a lot that could happen. Oregon, again, playing well. Georgia's playing really well. They're capable of winning a national title. I don't know if outside of Georgia, Ohio State, and Indiana, maybe Oregon, I see any of these teams that can truly win it all, though.
Well, you just, if you didn't have them already, you just made yourself a lot of fans here in Columbus, Ohio. That's for sure. Adam, thanks so much for taking the time. Enjoy the days here with family and friends and the games on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Okay, guys, appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
You too, man.
It's the senior college football writer for ESPN, Adam Rittenberg, joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We will wrap up the program and do a little three things coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Are you looking to hire?
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Or are you spending your New Year's Eve? Unless your answer involves 13 and a half hours of Buckeye pregame coverage, you're doing it wrong. From 6 a.m. till kickoff at 7:30, we're live and local. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Men, it's
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Before we get to three things, Jacob, what do we got on the poll today?
Hang on 1 second.
Got to put your headphones on.
Yeah. My mouse is not with me. I'm sorry. This is a...
All right. It's all good. I got it pulled up right
here. Okay, here we go. Not including the Cotton Bowl, which college football playoff quarterfinal game are you most looking forward to watching? And right now, the favorite is Alabama and Indiana at 64.4%. Oregon and Texas Tech is second at 30.5%, and then Ole Miss and Georgia is at 5.1%.
I understand the Alabama and Indiana from the standpoint of Indiana, obviously, here in the Big Ten, won the Big Ten championship. Alabama, a big-time program, seeing those two, a normal college football power, a not-normal college football power playing each other. I think that Oregon-Texas Tech game is going to be fantastic, though. I think it is going to be just an awesome football game.
It's going to be intriguing, that's for sure, because Texas Tech is legit. I mean, if you watched them play, they're legit. They've gone out and gotten the best team money can buy. And Oregon, I'm not sure what to make of Oregon, but Oregon's had, what, has one loss? Mm-hmm. And who was that, two?
Number one.
Number one, Indiana. And That trip for both of them, though, it's just, you know, just wow, it's crazy when you think about it. And, of course, Alabama's going to the Rose Bowl, but Alabama, the team everybody, a lot of people thought should not have been in and Notre Dame should have been in. It's really funny that Miami and Alabama won their first-round games on the road. But I'll tell you what, Ole Miss, Georgia, that's intriguing for all kinds of reasons.
It was a great game the first time.
But the good news is it's going to eliminate another SEC team. So that's the good news from that game.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
My first thing, I'm going to stay right there as not interested as I was in those first round playoff games. I thought the Oklahoma-Alabama game was good, and I was locked into that on Friday night. I was paying attention to Texas A&M Miami because that's who Ohio State was going to play in the Cotton Bowl. But those other two games, I didn't really care in the first round of the playoffs. You just kind of knew it was.
That's
kind
why
of
they're on TNT.
Yeah, foregone conclusion that Oregon and Ole Miss were going to move on, and those games weren't going to be close. I'm super excited about these games, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I think that Alabama-Indiana matchup is going to be fun just because of what we talked about. Indiana's not used to being here. Alabama is. Georgia-Old Miss was a great game the first time. And I think Oregon-Texas Tech is going to be fun. I'm going to be locked in once that Cotton Bowl starts, I'm going to be locked in for a whole 24 hours of college football.
I'm going to bring up something. My first thing is you brought him up a while ago, Raymond Harris. Happy birthday to Raymond Harris, former Ohio State running back and administrator and whatever, you know, he's doing now. But he's still the only player I've covered at Ohio State that had two nicknames. Look, of course, Carson Hensman, I think he has two nicknames for every offensive lineman now, but these legit nicknames, the Quiet Storm and the Ultra Back, were his two nicknames, and still not clear where either one of them came from. But he's the guy that kind of stepped in when Robert Smith left the team there for a while. Remember back in, well, you don't may not remember, but 1991. And I've always liked Raymond Harris, the Quiet Storm Ultra Back.
Quiet Storm, one of the best nicknames ever, I believe, and had a nice little cup of coffee with the Chicago Bears,
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He was a player of repute.
First thing for me, it was a pretty big night for A.J. DeBanza last night at BYU, one of the top freshmen in the class. This freshman class is ridiculous, and he's just adding to his case as maybe being the number one pick. But last night, he became the youngest player in NCAA history to record a 30-point triple-double with 33 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, and only missed two shots, was 11 of 13 from the field.
Wow.
And it's the first 30-plus point triple-double in BYU history. So, big night from DeBanza.
He's a heck of a player.
Yes, he is.
Very good. What did I see with Darren Peterson? Like, he's been banged up a lot and been out, and his family doesn't want him to come back until he's 100% healthy.
Yeah,
is that right?
I thought I saw a quote this morning that, like, Bill Self had mentioned that they're in full contact with the family, and just it's basically all up to Peterson on how he feels, if he wants to give it a go or not.
That's a bummer that he's banged up, because it was going to be fun to watch him at Kansas this year. My second thing, I'm not one. A lot of people on this show that are normally here complain about the weather a lot. I am not one that complains about the weather much. I don't love snow, but I don't hate snow. I don't hate the cold and all of that. I will say, like, when it snows, I want it to snow. Like, I want it to snow a lot so you can go skiing, you can go sledding, you can go shovel it and make money, whatever. Like, I don't want it to just spit a little bit. It's 50 out there today.
Yeah.
It's going to be 42 tomorrow, 49 and raining the day after that. It's going to be in the 60s this weekend.
What is the day after that, by the way?
I think it's Christmas. I don't even remember, yeah.
That's a bummer.
And I fully expect you to be wearing shorts, too.
Well, yeah, of course. But I don't like this. Like, this is one time of the year where I think we do need snow. I'm not going to be usually out here pounding the table saying we need snow. But we need snow this week. I do not like this 60 and rainy stuff this week.
You're not about to sing, let it snow, let it snow.
No, I'm not going to do that. Snow. We're not going to sing. But
are you dreaming of a white Christmas?
I wish there would be.
My second thing is I'm on pins and needles on whether one of the gifts I ordered for my wife quite a while ago. I rarely plan ahead, but whether it's going to arrive or not, because it's been delayed a couple of times. You know what I mean? That's the main reason I like shopping in stores is when you put your hand on it and you pay for it, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pins and needles on whether that's going to arrive today as scheduled.
Second thing for me, Buckeye basketball game this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I'm very anxious to see how they respond to that close loss to North Carolina. I expect a big game. I really want to see more out of the bench. I want to have some guys build some confidence as we get into Big Ten play. And I really want to see a Tilly and Ngovin look a little bit more in this game. This is the type of game where you can kind of experiment that before you get into conference play.
How many points did they get from the bench the other day?
Zero.
Yeah. I can guarantee so anything you can't is an get improvement. Any less from the bench. That's for sure.
That's wow. 0 points.
Whoa, he didn't really wish for a car for Christmas, did he?
Final thing for me, everyone, enjoy the time with your family and friends the next couple of days. Hopefully you don't have to work too much, but if you do, be safe out there and just enjoy the time that you get here to spend with your loved ones.
Wow, you ought to put that on a car. A Christmas card, you could probably sell a few of them. I love my grandsons Owen and Charlie. They're getting to that age. I mean, they're now they're 6 and 4, and they really like Christmas, and boy, does that rekindle some things for you when you're an old man like myself. But I really like my grandsons, and I hope they have a great Christmas.
Last thing for me.
I know they will, by the way.
Because you know what you got them.
That's a given. Yeah.
Last thing for me. It's a milestone Christmas for me because it's my daughter's first Christmas, even
there
though she's still like in that phase where she really can't do anything. So that's pretty big for us there at home. But Rothman and Ice up next to Dave Biddle is in for AR, and they got a power hour before the warm-up show starting at 1 o'clock, so don't go anywhere.
It's not a marathon for Rothman and Ice today. It is a sprint. We will be back with you live on Friday. Best of shows coming your way the next 2 days as you enjoy the holidays. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.